Now, Iraqi security forces backed by local tribesmen have killed at least 71 Al-Qaeda-linked militants in the western Anbar province. A tribal leader says the militants from the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant were killed during clashes in and near Ramadi. Clashes also took place in the nearby city of Fallujah. Officials say 32 civilians also died during battles in both cities in Anbar province. The security forces have managed to take control of more areas which had earlier fallen into the hands of militants. The unrest came after the removal of an anti-government protest camp in Ramadi on Monday. Authorities said the camp had been used by Al-Qaeda-affiliated militants. For more on this, let's talk to Zeid Alisa, Middle East commentator from London. Welcome, sir. Mr. Alisa, first of all, what is the driving force behind the recent escalation in terrorism in Iraq?
Well, I mean, the driving force and the dramatic surge in the power, influence and power of Al-Qaeda has been undoubtedly the funding, the arming, the logistical support and even unprecedented move of paying salaries to Al-Qaeda's arm in Syria, which is Jabhat al-Nusra. And that has been acknowledged by Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, that Jabhat al-Nusra is merely an extension and its leader, Abu Muhammad al-Jilani, is simply a foot soldier. All that money and funding has been acknowledged by the New York Times, that has gone to the most extremist group in Syria, which is Jabhat al-Nusra. And that explains the tremendous rise in the power and influence of Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And also the protests, which have continued for nearly a year, has actually served as a recruitment, the major and most effective recruitment sergeant for Al-Qaeda, because of the viral violence, the antagonistic and sectarian rhetoric, which has been ramped up in those protests, and also ratcheting up the sectarian strife, which has reinvigorated and reactivated the sanctuary, which was Anbar province, which was at the heart of the insurgency in 2006 and 2007. And it's also absolutely clear that those protests have served as an excuse or a perfect pretext for meddling and interference by Saudi Arabia, who has thrown its weight and full support behind the continuation of those protests. And we've recently heard Tariq al-Hashmi demanding and explicitly asking Saudi Arabia for direct and full backing to the insurgents, to the Wahhabi Salafi insurgents in Iraq, to back up Al-Qaeda clearly and overtly. That was what he has asked for. Now, the Iraqi forces have made a major mistake by actually retreating and heeding the calls from some of the prominent leaders of Al-Iraqiyya or Al-Mujahideen, like the Speaker of the Parliament, Al-Mujahideen, when he called on the Iraqi forces to vacate Anbar province, to vacate Ramadi. This has created a vacuum for the Al-Qaeda and also from some of the tribal leaders who have been vehemently opposed to the presence of the government, have been fiercely against it and have been calling on the government to vacate Anbar. This has created an opening for Al-Qaeda, which actually took advantage of that and occupied both Ramadi and also Fallujah. Now, the major mistake the government is doing is relying on some of the tribesmen and tribal leaders who have basically switched sides and turned sides so many times and have been actually responding to the highest bidder. And that's a major mistake committed by the Iraqi forces, because those tribal leaders have been vehemently opposed to the government presence in those areas and can simply turn their guns on the government forces at any minute.
Of course, how strong and effective has the cooperation between the Iraqi army and the local Sunni tribesmen in destroying these terrorists been?
Well, as I said, it is fluctuating. It is totally unreliable, and their previous positions and their demands for the Iraqi army to leave their area caused serious doubts and called into the question the credibility and reliability of those tribe leaders. They have been fiercely against the government, and they have been backing up the protests, and they have been taking advice and also supporting the Saudi meddling inside Iraq, and Saudi Arabia has very strong influence on those leaders. So for the Iraqi government to rely on those tribal leaders, I think they are actually committing a serious mistake, and all the arming and the funding now the Iraqi government is actually giving to those tribesmen will be used against the government forces at a later stage. I do believe that the tribal leaders do not want Al-Qaeda in those cities, But at the same time, they do not want government forces or the Iraqi army to be on their cities. They want Al-Qaeda to use the protest camps as a launch pad or a springboard against other Iraqi cities in the south and also in the middle of Iraq, mainly the Shias, in order to undermine and destabilize the Iraqi government, which has been the top objective, overarching goal of Saudi Arabia since 2003, which perceives the Iraqi democracy as a major and existential threat, and has been trying now, since the failure of its policies in Syria and also the failure of policies on actually pushing and encouraging the United States to launch major military strikes on Iran. And the result of the latest nuclear agreement, I think the Saudis are actually pushing very hard for a sectarian war between Shias and Sunni in order to prove to its population that it is engaged in an existential threat in combating the Shias and Iran, and also provide them with the evidence that anyone who actually dares to protest in Saudi Arabia is considered to be a spy, and that will facilitate a major crackdown against any internal uprising in Saudi Arabia.
All right, we'll leave it there for the time. Many thanks to Zeid Ali, our Middle East commentator from London. Thanks to you also, sir.